You need to have this might or spiritual power of the Lord in your soul. There is a channel that carries the spiritual power of the Lord into your life. And I want us to take a couple of minutes just to really think about this, because this is going to change everything. If there is a channel, a fountain, where in our weakness we can go to and receive spiritual power from heaven through our Lord Jesus, then I'm a fool if I don't use that.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and I trust that today you still have your armor on. We come to part two of this message from Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be endued to stand. We also have a hymn, His Love, and our question answer. Why did the parents want to have the Lord Jesus lay His hands on their little children? Matthew 19, verse 13 says, Then were they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And he said, Let his hands on them, and departed thence. These are familiar words, but I fear we take too little interest in the fullness of their meaning. The honor that was done to the Savior by bringing little children to him was great. It recognized the Lord Jesus as the fount of God's grace to needy souls, as well as the good that was done to these children, though they were little aware of their need. It was the burden of parents to see good bestowed on these children that moved them to seek the Lord's benediction upon them with his gracious hands. Matthew Henry, the famous commentator, writes, The faith of those that brought them, how many they were that were brought, we are not told. But they were so little as to be taken up in arms, a year old it may be, or two at most. The account here given of it is that there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Probably they were their parents, guardians, or nurses that brought them, and herein they testified their respect to Christ and the value they had for his favor and blessing. Note, those who glorify Christ by coming to him themselves should further glorify him by bringing all they have or have influence upon to him likewise. Thus, give him the honor of his unsearchable riches of grace, his overflowing, never-failing fullness. We cannot better honor our Lord than by making use of him. They did a kindness to their children, not doubting that they would fare the better in this world and the other for the blessing and prayers of the Lord Jesus, whom they looked upon at least as an extraordinary person, as a prophet, if not a priest, and king. The blessings of such were valued and desired. Others brought their children to Christ to be healed when they were sick, but these children were under no present malady, only they desired a blessing for them. Note that it is a good thing when we come to Christ ourselves and bring our children to him, before we are driven to him, as we say, by woe and need, not only to visit him when we are in trouble, but to address ourselves to him in a sense of our general dependence on him and of the benefit we expect him by his blessing. In our churches and our Sunday schools, we must do what these parents and nurses did for these children, bringing them to Jesus. While he is not present in body, he is present in his church and among his people, where the Lord is honored. By bringing our children to public worship, the teaching of his word under a gospel ministry, we are bringing them to the Lord Jesus for his blessing. Our prayer is ever that they will be effectually drawn to Christ by his Spirit, and we may have a small part in their eternal salvation. Our hope is that God in grace will visit this generation to bring them to a godly heritage, to know the power of the Savior in their own hearts and lives. And that's the ministry of parents. That's the great need in all of our lives, to reach our children and to bring them to the personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus. A parent can do this every day by prayer, by just going to her knees and pleading with the Lord that he may put his mighty hand upon them and draw them to himself. We can gather our children around the table to read the scriptures and pray with them. Bring them to church and Sunday school that they may hear the way of God's great salvation. May the Lord enable us to raise our children for the Lord. Let me invite you to bring your children along to our Sunday school, Sundays 9:30, classes for all ages, preschool right through to teenagers, and then classes for parents, so that you may come as a family, just stay for the Sunday school hour, and then the worship service, if you will, and may the Lord bless you through his word. We look forward to having you in our Sunday school. Now, if you are not in our area, let me exhort that you go to a church that is a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, and bring your children, that they may hear the word, that they may be brought into and under the influence of the gospel, and that those prayers that are offered may become effectual by bringing our children under the ministry of God's word. That is vital, and I do exhort you. And if you're in our area, we look forward to having you here at our Sunday school, Sundays 9:30, anytime. Now, stay tuned with us as we come to our message today on the Christian armor. May the Lord speak to your heart. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and our message today is on the Christian armor, standing in the might of the Lord against every wile of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6.
There's also something else that the Lord must have, and that is you must give him your faith. Your call to know the Lord personally, one-to-one, and that means your faith, because faith is the hand of friendship. Until you put your faith in the Lord, you're not showing him your friendship. You're not showing him your love and desire to be his. In your unbelief, in your hardness of heart, you are filled with doubt. And that means lack of friendship. And Christian, we need to grow in faith and abound in faith that we might know the love of the Lord in our hearts. Did you ever notice that the apostle who's called the apostle of love was the man in his gospel who wrote most about faith? John said that he wrote his gospel, these things have I written, that ye might believe on the Son of God. Now, John was the one who laid on the Savior's breast. He displayed his love for his Lord unashamedly. And yet he was the one who's calling people to believe. Believe. That's how you grow in strength in the Lord, by living personal faith. And we're to keep on believing. And that is something of a battle for us. We're prone to doubt. We're prone to lose that close, careful confidence in the Lord. And that's a battle. And you have to stoke your faith. You have to pray that that fire of faith is revived again and again. Because you cannot walk with the Lord in the hand of friendship without a living faith. And again, I ask, are we doing that? Or are we growing weak because of doubts and living at a distance? And then, of course, I cannot omit that the Lord wants your heart. The proverb says, son, give me thine heart. That's what the Lord wants from you today, your heart. That is your affection, your everything. He wants you on the altar of personal sacrifice for him. Do you want to know the Lord and the power of his might? Then you need to know him personally, one-to-one. And this is the life of union and communion with the Lord. You'll notice the word in. It seems almost foolish for a preacher to say this. But if you look at Ephesians 6, verse 10, and you'll look at the word in. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's our position in Christ, our union with him. We're grafted into the Lord Jesus. And we're to be strong in this union with our Lord Jesus. And that graft needs to take a firm grip and to enjoy more and more of the life of the tree. And that's what we should be doing. And as we do that, we will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We will love his word. We will love prayer. We will love the Lord's name. We will want to extol and honor that name when we're living in union and communion with him. Can you think of the love of your life being derided and cursed by angry men? What would you do? Can you remain oblivious, careless? No, you can't. You can't. True love means you will come to the defense of the one you love. And as a Christian, what honors the Lord Jesus, you are on board. What dishonors him, you discard. You either get away from it, or you put the lid on it, shut it down, whatever you can within your power. Because you know the Lord personally. And whatever grieves and hurts his name grieves you. You're involved. You're engaged. You're wed with the Lord. And that makes you strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now I come to a third point here, and it is to be strong in the Lord, we must know the Lord spiritually. Now I might be overlapping here, but I do want to emphasize the spiritual nature of this. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, you'll notice the last part, it says, and in the power of his might. Another translation of that gives, in conclusion, strengthen yourselves in the Lord in the power which his supreme might imparts. Now that's it's more of a exposition than a translation, but it highlights what this is speaking about. And this is very important to us, for it must mean that we can utilize or draw from the strength of the Lord in our service for him, in the power of his might. The Christian doesn't stand in his own strength. We work out of the strength of the Lord. And remember, Paul is giving doctrine first, and then he's giving what we're to be doing. Now, before you put on the armor, before you put on that breastplate and take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and all those items to get right into the battle, before that happens, you need to be endued. You need to have this might or spiritual power of the Lord in your soul. There is a channel that carries the spiritual power of the Lord into your life. And I want us to take a couple of minutes just to really think about this, because this is going to change everything. If there is a channel, a fountain, where in our weakness we can go to and receive spiritual power from heaven through our Lord Jesus, then I'm a fool if I don't use that. Let's begin here at John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. A familiar verse, and yet one, I think, that we need to really claim. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's our Lord Jesus. He's full of grace and truth. Then verse 16. And of His fullness have all we received. That is, every born-again Christian, every true believer who is a child of God has already, you have already received grace. But the problem in Christian living is the grace of yesterday is not what I need today. The grace that helped me through my life as a baby Christian will not help me now in older life. The grace that I got when I was a student grappling with new things is not the grace that I need now that I'm in the front line trying to stand for the Lord. I need new grace. And what does it say here in verse 16? And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. What does that mean? Grace for grace. It means grace in the place of grace. Replacement grace. Or like the manna in the wilderness that they got fresh every morning. The manna that fell yesterday was no use the next day. The Lord gives new manna. And in our service and our walk with the Lord, and you as a Christian in your daily living, here's the key. Here's the key. You want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? You need today's grace. We need to seek it every day. As those Israelites went out gathering that manna each and every day, this is what we can enjoy. Grace for grace, new grace each and every day. In Acts 1 verse 8, the promise was, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now I'm getting a picture of, number one, grace is available. Then I'm getting to understand who the agent of that grace is, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then I add to that, this is something I'm to pray for. And back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, you have this another prayer of the apostle, and he's praying for these Christians at Ephesus. Note the prayer, please. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What a wonderful thing! And what an answer! I don't need to remain weak in my own impoverished state. There is now a supply, and it's the Holy Spirit. And Paul has taught me here to pray for it. Pray for it. And just as he prayed for his people to whom he was writing, that they would receive this benefit, this strength in the inner man. So we're not now talking about muscular strength. We're not talking now about building up this physical strength. We're talking about spiritual strength. And that was my heading. We must know the Lord spiritually. Are you focused on this? Is this something that's real in your life? Really real, I mean. Not just something, oh yeah, I've heard of that before. No, no. Have you known that this week? Have you been on your knees this week to plead this strength that comes to the inner nature, the new man, that strengthens you with might. Then there's another text Paul quoted, and he said in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, if that was physical things, it would be bragging. It would be a carnal boast. But he is saying here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's talking about inner strength. He's talking about his soul renewed and replenished. And this has to be the testimony of believers. If you read the biographies of missionaries and preachers and those that have served the Lord, they will testify of that power that comes far beyond their own abilities, their own intuition, and the Lord comes and meets with them. Now, it's totally the operation of the Holy Spirit. And John tells us that we're not in control of this. And that's the humbling part. We're not in control. The Holy Spirit gives it. And the Holy Spirit bloweth where he listeth. And just like the wind, today there's a little bit of wind. If you're out on a boat, you could fill the sail to some degree. And then there's other days that are stormy days, where they could drive you along with speed. And then there's other days, the boater's in the doldrums. There's no wind. And you'll find that in your life. You'll find that in the Christian life. There'll be days when the Holy Spirit blows upon you in sweet, gentle grace, and you'll enjoy your Lord. There's other days when the Holy Spirit will come like a great gust of wind and he'll stir your soul to great heights of joy and a thrill in the Lord. And there's other days as a Christian you'll be down in the doldrums and you'll wonder what's happened to you. You'll be discouraged and depressed and you'll come to the Bible and you'll say, I don't find anything here. Those are days when the Spirit of God teaches us our weakness, and our total dependency upon the Lord Jesus. And what an answer for those who say, I feel defeated in the Christian life. Someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I feel defeated. I feel difficult to pray. Well, then I would say, you're in the doldrums. And the answer is to wait on the Spirit of God. Seek the Holy Spirit and wait upon him. And just as a boatman, a sailor on the seas, what can he do in the doldrums? He waits for the wind. He doesn't panic. He doesn't try to do substitutionary things and get that boat going. No, he waits on the wind. That's all you can do. Could you imagine a Christian counselor who's getting paid $100 an hour, and a Christian comes along and says, look, I feel defeated. Have you got any answers for me? And he said, well, go and pray. Wait on the Lord. You see, we're living in a society today that people want steps. Well, if you do this, this, and this, and have you considered this, and maybe there's justification for where you're at, and all kinds of reasoning and rubbish. But the real answer is, if you're in the doldrums, wait on the Spirit of God to move. And do not depend on anything else, any substitute. But go to him alone. My last point, for which I don't have time to preach, is really about knowing the Lord practically. I want to say one point on this. There's a brand of Christian teaching that says we're to let go and let God. In other words, only God can do this. But if you study Ephesians 6, you'll get the answer to that. Put on the armor of God. There is a whole lot that the Christian must do. There's no pacifism here. They say, well, we're not even going to prepare for war. We're not even going to try and do a rebuttal to the enemy. We're just going to sit and wait whatever happens. That's not Christian doctrine. And there's a whole lot that you can do to put on the armor of God and prepare your soul for the great battle. And that battle has come upon us today. But there's a great thing that we should know, and that is the captain. He's the general of the fight. And just as every man in the army is put into his little spot in the battlefield to do his part, the great general, he plans the strategy. And what is the plan of our Lord Jesus? To bring every one of his people home. And while we're in this world, we must fight. Yet we know the victory is sure. The victory is already won. And we're fighting in the victory of the Lord. Let that encourage your heart today. Let that be added to your arsenal of items to strengthen you as you serve the Lord in the week to come. Would you take this to prayer in your own life? Please don't go home and forget about this message. It has cost me to get this message. I had to dig for this one. And I trust that it will be a life-changing word, that you will not just live in the doldrums, but live in the enjoyment and the power of the Lord's might. In your home, at work, in society, community, and that in this church, we will know this power. May the Lord write it on our hearts. Take this text to heart, that we will know the Lord and the power of his might.
We let the Bible speak on this final text today, Isaiah 42 verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. The person spoken of here is the Lord Jesus, and is referring to the gentleness of his gracious character toward sinners who feel the brokenness of sin. And if you are repentant today, and if you are burdened by sin, the Lord is your healer. He will not bruise that reed, and he will not crush the smoking flax. He will, in grace, lift you up and give you help. May you turn to him today with all your heart. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.